السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me tawfiq to visit again this community, and I hope that inshallah the time we spend together tonight would be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepted by Him. The topic that I decided to address tonight is the sign of faithfulness. And this is a very broad topic, and you cannot do justice in one session. But at least we can perhaps point out to some major issues. And alhamdulillah, you are people of reading and studying and following up the discussion. So inshallah, you can yourself, inshallah, later build upon what is said. You know, there are two things that always come together. One is reality, and one is cognition. These two things always are related to each other. Something is there, something which is known. Knowledge and what is known, these two come together. There have even been some Western philosophers who have said that existence and being known are the same. They said existence means to be perceived. So even they want to say this is the same thing. Or when we come to Hegel, he had the idea that everything which exists, exists in the mind of God. So he believed that God has a mind, and our existence is like existence of images in the mind of God. So they have gone to the extreme to say that existence is just to be known. We don't accept this, but it seems that we can suggest that everything which exists must be also known. You may say, this is very obvious, Maulana, everything which exists is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we don't need to struggle that much. Yes, I know that, but I think it's more than that. Not only it must be known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it seems it must be also knowable to someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you one example, and then we go on to the other things. You are all familiar with this hadith, which is, I don't think, not possible to read any book about the goal of creation and not read this hadith. This is the hadith of the hidden treasure. That it's a hadith, a Qudsi, a divine saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kuntu kanzan makhfiyan." I was a hidden treasure, an unknown treasure. فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُعْرَفْ فَخَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقْ لِكَيْ أُعْرَفْ. I loved to be known, so I created people so that I am known. Okay, when Allah says, I was a hidden or unknown treasure, He doesn't mean even to myself. For sure, He knew Himself. But that is not enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants us also to know Him. And therefore, in end of Surah Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahunna yatanazzalu al-amru baynahunna lita'lamu anna Allaha 'ala kulli shay'in qadir wa anna Allaha qad ahata bikulli shay'in 'ilma. So why did Allah create the world? So that we can come to know Him. So to be known is that important that Allah says this is the reason for the creation of the world. Of course, this knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would lead to our perfection. There is no question about it. But I'm saying that this shows how much knowledge is important and how much to be able to know what exists is important. We have certain hadiths about everything having a sign. One, for example, hadith is the hadith of a young Muslim from the people of platform, Ashab Sufa. You know, when Muslims migrated to Medina, so some of them managed to find some friends or become brothers of, you know, other people. So they had some place to stay. Some of them had no place. So they used to live just on a platform. A platform that now we go to Medina and we try to pray there. Of course, some people make mistake. They think another place is the platform. But anyway, that's now inside the Masjid al-Nabi. One of these young people who used to live there, one day after the prayer of Fajr, met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He looked different. He was not like other people. The Prophet asked him, "Kayfa asbahta? How are you today? How did you start your day today?" He said, "Asbahtu muqinan. I am certain. I have started my day with certainty." The Prophet said, "Likulli shay'in alam." Everything has a sign. What is the sign of your certainty? He said, "My certainty has caused me not to sleep during the night. I cannot sleep. All night I keep awake." You know, when you know something so important like death is approaching, how can you sleep? Yes, sometimes you may fall asleep, but you cannot plan to sleep. Like when you have, you know, something very important to finish, you cannot sleep. You have so much, you know, stress that you cannot sleep. And my certainty has caused me not to eat and drink during the day. I fast. And then he said, "I can see who among the people who are with you is a person of heaven and who is a person of hell." And the Prophet told him, "Keep silent. This is not to be disclosed." And then he asked the Prophet to pray for him to become a martyr. Because then that is a seal. When you are martyred, it means that everything is sealed in the good way. Otherwise, you may lose it. So the Prophet prayed for him and then he became a martyr. Look at the sentence of the Prophet. When he said, "I am muqin, I have certainty," the Prophet said, "Likulli shay'in alam." Everything has a sign. This confirms what I said, that everything that exists must also have a way to discover it. Because to exist and to be known come together. There is no possibility of something existing and there is no way to know it. Or for example, there is a hadith from Imam Kazim alayhi salam in Al-Kafi, first volume, and actually the first section of Kafi in Kitab al-Aql wal-Jahl. Imam has a very beautiful hadith about the significance of reason and reasoning in Islam. And this is a hadith that Imam addressed Hisham ibn Hakam. In the middle of hadith, Imam says, لكل شيء دليل. The Prophet said, لكل شيء علامة. علامة and دليل are not that much different. علامة means ما يعلم به, what you can know through it. And دليل means guide, sign, indicator. Imam Kazim said, لكل شيء دليل. Everything has a sign, has an indicator. ودليل العقل التفكر. The sign of having active intellect is that you contemplate. If someone has always ready-made answers, he doesn't need to think at all, always speaks and gives opinion, this person has not activated his aql. A person who is contemplative needs time to think. You ask him something, he says, let me think about it. Sometimes it may take him a few minutes, sometimes it may take him a few days, sometimes it may take him a few weeks. We are not ma'asum, we are not God, we need to think. If everyone is giving always, you know, ready-made answers, this is not good. So, Imam Kazim said, Dalilul aql at-tafakkur. وَدَلِيلُ التَّفَكُّرُ. How can we realize that someone is contemplating? As-samt, silence. The people who speak less, there is a greater chance that they may be contemplative. The people who speak all the time or listen all the time, so they don't have chance to think, and therefore they don't have chance to argue, reason, rationalize. So again, the same thing. لكل شيء دليل. So everything in this world that exists is possible to be discovered. This is very important, and I don't have time to mention some of the implications of view. Just briefly, for example, this gives hope to the scientists that whenever there is a problem, there is a way to discover it. All those who are studying medicine, they must know that from Islamic point of view, there is no illness without treatment, and there is no treatment without being able to discover. This has lots of impact. In any case, everything has a sign, or actually maybe more than one sign. Something that we find in our hadith is, how about iman? What are the signs of being mu'min, a faithful person? This is a very important question. Because if I am not mu'min, nothing else would help me. This is not something, you know, marginal. I have to be able to assess my iman. So we need to look for signs for iman. Also, in our social life, we want to discover who are real and true mu'mineen to associate with. Again, we need signs. So we need signs to evaluate ourselves, and we need signs to evaluate others. Like a doctor, medical doctor, who must look for the symptoms of disease, sometimes in others, sometimes in himself. But not only there are symptoms for disease, there are also symptoms for health, which is not normally perhaps studied, but there can be also symptoms for health. So how can we realize whether we are mu'min or not? How can we realize whether someone else is mu'min or not? This is something that we can find from the Quran and Hadith. And you have to also bear this point in mind, that what you read in Hadith or in the Quran may sometimes be for understanding other people's iman, sometimes can be for yourself. For example, the famous hadith that we have, that I think every day or night of Arba'in, you hear this hadith, you know, it's always heard, from Imam Askari alayhi salam, which says that the signs of mu'min are five. You must have heard this hadith. There are five signs for mu'min. One is that the mu'min has his ring in his right hand. At-takhattumu bil-yamin. What type of sign is this? So can I start, you know, my day looking, okay, alhamdulillah, I have my, you know, ring on my right hand, so I am mu'min, alhamdulillah. So today I have no problem. Let's see tomorrow how I wake up. If I wake up and my ring is in the right, no, this is not the sign for you to evaluate your iman. This is the sign for others to identify who are mu'mineen. Because when we read history, we realize that Bani Umayyah used to ask people to put their ring in left. And there Ahlul Bayt asked the Shia to put it in the right. Then over time it changed. Sometimes became opposite. Sometimes they had in the right and then we had it left. So therefore we have hadith which suggests both things. Therefore, you know, sometimes we do in both hands. So, this is not a sign which goes deep into your heart, into your soul, to realize whether you are mu'min or not. This is something which is very good to identify people. I remember several years ago in Mecca, with some brothers, we went to have this sugarcane drink. And I think we were three. Then a brother came to us because he has seen my ring. This Imam Jawad, you know. And he said, I am a Shia from Bahrain. This was about 3-4 years ago. And just by looking at my ring, he realized that we are Shia. And, you know, we talked and, you know, we exchanged, you know, news. And he insisted on paying, you know, for our drink. So this is a sign. If we didn't have that ring, he couldn't realize whether we are a follower of Ahlul Bayt or not. Or for example, another sign of mu'min is ta'afirul jabin. When they do sajdah, they put their forehead on earthy material, on soil, sand, something like this. Or 51 rak'ah prayer. Or saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loudly. Or ziyaratu arba'in. One of the signs of mu'min is to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or at least to recite the ziyarah of Imam from distance in the night and day of arba'in. When we say Arba'in, it includes the night as well. Indeed, Islamically, it's very interesting. Islamically, day starts with night. Day not opposite to night. Day means 24 hours. It is when sun sets that the day starts. So when is Arba'in? After sun sets in the night of Arba'in. So, one sign of mu'min is that he or she does ziyarah of Imam Hussein in the night of Arba'in or day of Arba'in. In Arabic, we have clear distinction between yawm and nahar. Unfortunately, it's not very clear in English. In Arabic, when we say yawm, it can mean 24 hour. If they want to refer to just the day side of it, they say nahar. In English, we don't have two terms. We say day, so it's not very clear whether we mean day 24 hour or we mean day in contrast to night. In any case, this ziyara is so important that has been considered as a sign. If you want to know who is a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, you cannot just see who is going to visit Imam Hussein or going to, for example, Majalis of Hussein on the day of Ashura. It's not enough. On the day of Ashura, maybe non-followers of Ahlul Bayt also go. The one who keeps mourning for Hussein for 40 days, this person is hopefully a true lover of Hussein. And this is also something that is especially for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We don't have that much emphasis on continuing mourning for anyone else for 40 days. It's not that much common. It's for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Therefore, when we say ziyarat arba'in, it's known and understood by everyone that means ziyarah of Imam Hussein. And this also means that ziyarah for 40 days, not just on the day of 40th. Do you get the point? It doesn't mean that for 39 days you don't do anything, and then on the 40th day you do ziyarah. You say, oh, alhamdulillah, ziyarah to Arba'in is there. No, when we say ziyarah to Arba'in, means ziyarah which continues till Arba'in. Like when we say 51 rak'ah prayer, it means to say all 51. Not to say I say the 51st rak'ah. All of them must be there. So ziyarah of Arba'in is a sign of being mu'min, because it is a mu'min, inshallah. I'm saying inshallah because this is a sign which can sometimes be misused by people. Sometimes people can, you know, just pretend to be mu'min. But inshallah, in most of the cases, a person who mourns for Imam Hussein alayhi salam till Arba'in, you can trust him. You can be sure that he is a lover of Hussein. But these signs that we find in this hadith, I think, are not that much helpful for evaluating yourself. These are signs which are very good to evaluating others for social relations, for forming a community, for becoming friends, partners in business, so on and so forth. But what about myself? I can assure you that even if you recite ziyarah for Imam Hussein for 3 months, still it doesn't mean that you are necessarily a good mu'min. If instead of 51 rak'ah prayer, you say 500 rak'ah prayer, you cannot say, alhamdulillah, I am a good mu'min. No, it's much more complicated than this. You need to use another type of evaluation. We need another set of signs. And this is what I'm going to say briefly tonight. It's not just enough to have external signs. We have to find out internal signs of iman. unfortunately, we have this tendency that whenever we are told something, we quickly make it a habit and do it without understanding. This is something very common in human beings. When you say to people that you have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day, do you know what we do? We don't remember Allah 5 times a day. We just pretend that we remember Allah 5 times a day. Why? Because we make it a habit. We first unconsciously translate remembrance of Allah into certain physical actions. Then we make those physical actions a habit. Then we do it without understanding. So at the same time that I am praying, I am thinking of something else. So I think, alhamdulillah, I said my prayer, but maybe I have said all my prayer without even one rak'ah prayer being remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or for example, we are asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fast. What does fasting mean? Fasting means to avoid even the halal which you like for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who has control even on usage of halal, something which is in ordinary cases halal, this person refrains from that for the sake of Allah. So it means that when you fast, you must have so much taqwa that not only you don't do any haram, even you are able to refrain from halal. But then we fast and we tell lies. We fast and we do ghaibah. It's quite, you know, useless. Why? Because we have not kept fasting as it is meant by Allah. We think fasting means certain rituals. We make it a habit and then we do it unconsciously. This is the problem. So all these ziyarats, all the prayer, all the good actions, charitable work, community work, if they are not done with understanding, there is a worry that they may become just certain rituals. And you, I am sure, remember that we had people who spent all their nights in ibadah, and they became Khawarij. In the army of Umar Asad, you had many reciters of Quran. Many people who prayed, who went to Hajj, who were actually imams and leaders of, you know, mosques. Their salat, their Hajj, their Quran didn't help them. Why? Because they just had it up to the surface, just the shell, not the core. So we have to go further. We have to look for some signs that can help us to reach the depths of Iman. And tonight I want to share with you some of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt in this regard. And I have to avoid some misunderstanding. I am not underestimating the role of the external signs. I am not underestimating the role of the actions. But I'm saying those can only help if they come with what I am going to say now. We find in the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam that there are certain things that are very, very central in Iman. These are very, very close to the core of Iman. And I mention one tonight, and I don't have time to mention the rest. But if you are interested, then I had a series of 8 lectures on indicators of piety. So you can find it, you know, on internet. So inshallah, you can listen to them. The one that I am saying tonight, which is also very much needed for our community, is that if you want to see whether you are a mu'min or not, you must see how much you love other mu'minin. This is the sign. If you want to see how much you love Hussein, you have to see how much you love lovers of Hussein. Sometimes I love Hussein and I hate lovers of Hussein. This is not acceptable. I want Hussein to be for me. Who is other lover of Hussein? It's not important for me. Even if he comes on my way, I want to get rid of them. Hussein is for me, and I don't want anyone else to get involved. I want to have a big majlis for Hussein. Everyone should come to this majlis. If other majalis are empty, if they don't have anything, you know, to, for example, offer, if they don't even pay for their electricity, it's not important. My majlis for Hussein must be the best majlis in the world. Why? Because we think that even love for Hussein can be just an action, can just become a ritual. We didn't get the point. If you want to see how much you love Hussein, I am sure all of you love Hussein, and I am pretty sure that you love Hussein more than me. So I'm not questioning your love, I'm questioning my love. If I want to know how much I love Hussein, you must see how much you love people who are associated to Hussein for the sake of Hussein. This is the test. We say in Ziyarat Ashura, Ya Aba Abdullah, Inni Salmun Liman Salamakum. Sometime in Ziyarat we say, Inni Salmun Lakum. I am at peace with you. But this is not enough. I am at peace with whoever is at peace with you. Means it's impossible, Hussein, to find me, oh Hussein, you never find me conflicting with any of your Shia. وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ. If I have any problem, it's because that person has a problem with you. Now, let me share with you some hadith, and then inshallah, we conclude. These are just few hadith, and there are much more. There is a hadith from Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this hadith, revealed to one of the prophets, أَوْحَلَّهُ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. What did you do for me? If you had zuhd in dunya, which is very high position, not to be attached to dunya, to renunciate yourself from worldly pleasure, it's very important. But Allah said to that prophet, "Amma zuhduka fi dunya fatu'ajjiluka ar-raha." The fact that you are not attached to dunya is good for you. It brings you comfort earlier. You are not worried, you are not stressful. So this is something for you. وَأَمَّنْ غِتَاعُكَ إِلَيَّ. And the fact that you have come to me and you have distanced yourself from others to be attached to me, this is also good for you. Because you can say, my master is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have gained honor from this. So what have you done for me? Your zuhd is for you. Your انغطاء, your detachment from other things and being attached to me is for you. وَلَاكِنْ هل عاديت لي عدوا وواليت لي وليا؟ This is the challenge. Have you ever become friend of someone for my sake? Has your friendship come because that person is a mu'min? And also, has your hostility or enmity come because that person is my enemy? This is the test. If you love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dislike for the sake of Allah, then you are mu'min. Nothing else is enough. There is another hadith which is very similar, and this is about what Allah said to Prophet Musa. That Allah said to Musa, "Hal amilta li amalan qattu?" Oh Musa, have you done anything for me? Imagine Musa, one of the five most outstanding prophets. Allah says, have you ever done anything for me? Musa said, Sallaytu laka wa sumtu wa tasaddaqtu. I have prayed, I have fasted, I have given charity. Qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala lahu. Allah told him, Amma salat falaka burhanun. You have been saying your prayer. This is good for you. On the day of judgment, you have this as proof. وَالصَّوْمُ جُنَّةٌ. And fasting is a shelter for you, protection for you. وَالصَّدَقَةُ ذِلٌّ. When you give some money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a good cause, that is providing shadow on the day of judgment when everyone is in need of shadow. وَالزَّكَاةُ نُورٌ. When you give alms, it's light. فَأَيَّ عَمَلٍ عَمِلْتَ لِي. So what have you done for me? This was when Musa was left without any answer. He was never asked such a thing. قَالَ مُوسَى دُلَّنِي عَلَى الْعَمَلِ الَّذِي هُوَ لَكِ. He said, oh Allah, please teach me what is the action that is for you. I didn't know better than this. قَالَ يَا مُوسَى هَلْ وَالَيْتَ لِي وَلِيًّا. Have you ever showed love to someone because of me? Have you become friend of someone because of me? If there is a person who is a mu'min from another part of the world, he looks differently, he speaks another language, he eats and drinks another food, he dresses differently, but because he is a mu'min, you love him. And if your own brother is not a mu'min, you don't love him like that person. This is the challenge. You must be able to like Bilal, who comes from Ethiopia, more than your brother who is mushrik from Mecca. Halwa layta li waliya fa'alima Musa. That was the time that Musa knew أن أفضل الأعمال, the best of actions, is الحب في الله والبغض في الله. And let me tell you, when we meet here tonight, what is the best action that we are doing tonight? In my understanding, the best action that we are doing tonight is not that I am giving lecture, you are listening, or you are crying. These are very important. But more important than all this is that we have come here as lovers of Ahlul Bayt. For the sake of Ahlul Bayt, we have come together. This is more important than anything else. What has brought us here together? I came from Qom today. You came from different parts of London or other parts of UK. Many of us do not have any family relations, why we have come together? Why we love each other? Why when I see you, joy comes to my heart? It's because of Ahlul Bayt, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important thing. Then on top of that, whatever we do is extra bonus. But even if we have nothing to do, just every time and occasion we come together and we love each other, this is the best action. But this is something that took Musa some time. فَعَلَمَ مُوسَى. It took him some time, and after this questioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah told him this. But alhamdulillah, Ahlul Bayt have passed on this knowledge to us so that we learn it sooner. فَعَلَمَ مُوسَى أَنَّ أَفْضَلَ الْأَعْمَالَ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. To love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to dislike for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Misbah al-Sharia, there is a beautiful hadith. You know, Misbah al-Sharia is attributed to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And it's translated into English as the lantern of the path. There is a section about love which says, Al-Muhibbu fi Allah, Muhibbullah. If you love for the sake of Allah, you are a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people, you know, say, can I be sure that I am a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a big, you know, state to be a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to see whether you are a lover of Allah, see, can you love people that you have nothing to share with them except iman? If you can love them, so it means that you are a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-muhibbu fillah, the one who loves for the sake of Allah, he's a lover of Allah himself. Wal-mahbubu fillah, very beautiful. If mu'mineen love you for the sake of Allah, then you are Habibullah. Then you are loved by Allah himself. So if you love someone for the sake of Allah, you are a lover of Allah. And if people love you for the sake of Allah, you are beloved of Allah. So me and you can be lover of Allah and beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we love each other. لَأَنَّهُمَا لَا يَتَحَابَّانِ إِلَّا فِي اللَّهِ. Because they don't love each other except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which is very powerful, very moving. You know, the Prophet doesn't need to use any kind of vow or any, you know, to swear so that we accept. But still he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. Oh, Rasulullah, even if you don't say وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, we accept. But perhaps the Prophet says, no, some of you unfortunately accept but don't believe. He says, by the one in whose hand is my life, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. This is very powerful vow. لَا تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You will never enter heaven unless you are mu'min. Okay, this is not very difficult. This is very clear. No, it has an addition which is difficult. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُونَ Hatta tahabbu. And you don't have iman unless you love each other. It means that without loving each other, you cannot enter heaven. Because it says you have no iman unless you love each other. And without iman, you cannot enter heaven. So the Prophet is telling that by Allah, it's only when you love each other, you can expect to be granted permission to enter heaven. It's very powerful. We never thought like this. We always thought it is good. It's a good manner to love other people. It's something like cosmetics. We didn't take it as something essential. We thought it's something cosmetic. No, it's very essential, substantial. In another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who love each other, not because of family relations. Of course, it's not suggesting that you shouldn't love your relatives. It means must not be only, you know, a stopping at that. Those who don't love each other for the sake of blood relation or for the sake of, you know, financial relation. No, they love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said, "Inna ala wujuhihim lanura." There is a light on their face. Light of iman, which is proved by loving mu'mineen, is on their face. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَعَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِن نُورٍ. On the day of judgment, they will be on the pulpits of light. لَا يَخَافُونَ إِذَا خَافَ النَّاسِ. When everyone is worried, everyone is full of fear, these people have no worry. وَلَا يَحْزَنُونَ إِذَا حَزَنُوا. When everyone is sad and grieving, they don't have any sorrow. Then the Prophet recited this ayah. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Who are awliyaullah? Who are the friends of Allah, or who are the one who have relation of wilaya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The people who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why in Ziyarat Ashura, when for the second time we say, "Anni salmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum," we say what? For the second time we say, "Wa waliyun liman walakum." I have wilaya of whoever has your wilaya, so we become awliya. If we are awliya, as the Quran says, al-mu'minun wal-mu'minat ba'dhum awliya'u ba'd, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consider us as his awliya. So, this shows that we need to soon use this acid test for our iman. If inshallah you have this quality that you love mu'mineen despite their color, their ethnicity, their language, just because they are mu'min, this is very good. And try to keep it and strengthen this. If na'uzu billah there is a problem here, if I can only get along with the people that I have some ethnic relation, or I don't know, family relation or tribal relation, this is a problem. If for me, what happens to my brother and sister in faith in another part of the world is important, this is a sign of iman. Alhamdulillah. That you are concerned about what happens to other mu'mineen in any part of the world. If no, you don't bother about them, just you bother about your family, for example, or your local, you know, mosque, this is not enough. Let me end with this hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Atyabu shay'in fil jannah. You know, in heaven, everything is pleasant. Everything is beautiful. And something that normally we don't think about it is that the people who are in heaven, they themselves are beautiful. We only think that we go to heaven and we enjoy beauty of external world. But first, you have to yourself become beautiful, then you go to heaven. So you enjoy the birds, the, I don't know, flowers, everything beautiful there. But they also enjoy you. In heaven, everything is beautiful. Everything is pure. Everything that you like is there. But Amirul Mu'mineen says, do you know what is the most pleasant thing in heaven? أَتْيَبُ شَيْءٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَأَلَذُّهُ. The most pleasant and the most pleasurable thing is what? حُبُّ اللَّهِ وَالْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ. The love that you have for Allah and for the sake of Allah, that is the most joyful, the most pleasant thing. Nothing like food or fruits or, I don't know, honey or milk or anything there is comparable to love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just being in this state is enough for you. Sometimes we think that in heaven, it's only when we do something we enjoy. We think that it's only by eating or drinking or having, you know, some relation we are going to enjoy. No. When you are in that state of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just that is pleasurable. That is pleasing. Just when you breathe in heaven, it's enough. You don't need to do anything else. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for the sake of Allah is the best thing that you can experience. And now I am asking you, do you think that this can only happen in heaven? Can't we experience that heavenly love in dunya? If in dunya we have this love for each other, so our dunya becomes heaven. If in family, husband and wife and children love Allah and love each other for the sake of Allah, that family becomes heaven. If in our mosque, if in our schools, in our market, that we have this love for Allah and love for the sake of Allah, it becomes heaven. Why we cannot experience heaven right now? Hubbullah wal hubbu fillah. And then Imam Ali said, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. This is very significant when he says, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, means that you cannot praise enough Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. The best way to say that we acknowledge this great gift is just to say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So may inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this understanding and this courage to love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has lots of challenges to overcome. It's not easy. So many things would happen when you want to practice this. So many questions, so many, you know, obstacles would come on your way because shaitan doesn't want this. Shaitan would not want us to love each other for the sake of Allah. Suspicions would come, lots of problems. But if we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him for help, definitely he's going to help us. And this is the best thing that we should, inshallah, achieve. Let me end with a poem about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And tonight is very important because, as I said, this marks the night of Arba'een. And this is the night that, inshallah, we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept your mourning for Hussein, because the night of somehow completion of mourning, it's like the day of graduation from the school of mourning. You have to achieve by now everything. You have to be able to establish a close relation with Imam Hussein by now. If by Arba'een we have not achieved, so it's very unlikely we achieve later. 40 days are enough to transform ourselves. If in these 40 days of remembrance of Hussein, we have not been transformed, then it's very difficult. You know that many events happened after the day of Ashura, till Arba'in. And of course, there's a discussion whether it was the first Arba'in that Ahlul Bayt reached Karbala, or it was second Arba'in. Was it before going to Sham, or was on the way back from Sham? So there are some discussions. We don't want to discuss about them. But for sure, on one Arba'in, the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam visited Karbala again. But also many things happened in this period between martyrdom of Imam and Arba'in. I refer to one incident, and that is when the enemies of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the soldiers of Yazid, they were taking Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam with the heads of the martyrs to Sham, and on their way they reached a monastery, and a monk who had some knowledge about the Prophet of Akhir al-Zaman and the family of the Prophet saw that there is a head which is special. It's not normal person. And he asked permission for taking that head for the night that they had stationed in that place inside his monastery. And he washed, respected the head of Imam Hussein. So this poem relates to that incident, and it's a kind of imaginative conversation. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati allat bifnaik عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. May this not be the last time for me to offer my salam to you, Hussein. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين على أي ما خونين از کدامین آسمان از دی. This is the monk saying to head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says, O moon which is covered by blood, to which a sky do you belong? که امشب راه به دل خست را میهمان هستی. To which sky do you belong that you have come tonight to become my guest? چه میگویی چه میپرسی بود معلوم ای راهب.
The response was that, why do you ask this question? It's very obvious, who am I? أنا العطشان أنا المقتول أنا المظلوم أي رائع. Just by looking at me, you can realize that I am the one who is martyred. I am the one who was not given water and was killed when he was thirsty. I am the one who was oppressed. Then the monk said, تو مظلومی که بودی بر فراز نیزه دشمن. The monk said, I know that you are مظلوم because I saw your head being carried on the spears of your enemy. لب خونین زم بگشاب و نامت را بگو با من. But please open your lips and mention your name to me. I know you are مظلوم, but what is your name? علی زهرا محمد را فروغ اردوینم من. I am the light of the eyes of Zahra. I am the light of the eyes of Muhammad and Ali. Hussein Amman, Hussein Amman, Hussein Amman. My name is Hussein. Then the monk asked, چه دیدی که از گلوی چاک چاکت ناله برخیزد؟ چرا بر صورتت از چشمایت عشق میریزد؟ What have you seen, Hussein, that still you are crying, tears are coming from your eyes? The answer was, اگر چه لاله‌ها بسیار پامال خزان دیدم. The answer was, although I saw many flowers destroyed in the day of Ashura, but there was a big tragedy that I still remember. مکن از گریه من همراه با داغ جوان دیدم. Don't ask me to stop crying because I have mourned for my son Ali Akbar. Then the rabbi, the monk asked, تو بر خورشید می بخشی فروغ طلعت خود را. چرا بر روی خاکستر نهادی صورت خود را؟ Oh Hussein, you are shining like a sun, so illuminating. Why you have put your face on the ashes? The answer was, نمیدانی این سر را کجا بردند ای راهب؟ مرا در گوشه مطبخ سرا بردند ای راهب. Oh man, you don't know where they took this head. They put me in the oven and these are the ashes of oven. Then the monk asked, اجازت ده که شویم با گلاب عشق رویت را. ببوسم زخم بیشانی و رگای گلویت را. Oh Hussein, please give me permission to wash you with rose water, to wash all the injuries on your forehead and the blood containers. The answer was Bishoy Amma Nabus. قصه‌ای در خاطرم باشد که این رگای خونین بوسگاه خواهرم باشد. اوکی واش می بات دونت کیس مای ثروت بیکاز دیس از ویر مای سیستر از کیسد می. Then the monk asked to mehman many inja masoon as ar khatar bajad. Chera ba man takallum mikuni chashmat bedar bajad. O Hussein, here is safe, no one is coming to attack. Why, when you are speaking with me, keep looking at the door? The answer came, تکلم با تو اما دل به جای دیگری دارم. I am talking to you, but my heart is somewhere else. من آخر در پس این در 3 سال دختری دارم. But because behind this door I have a 3-year-old daughter waiting for me, I am looking at the door. The last question. الا ای با غم و غربت گذشته روز و شب آید، تو مانند گل سرخی کبود است از جلب آید. او حسین، you are like a rose flower, why your lips are bruised? The answer came, به قصر کوفه بودم دم زدم آنجا ز محبوبم، لبم ذکر خدا گفت و عبیدالله زد چوبم. I was in the palace of Kufa when I started invocating Allah. عبیدالله took his stick. الا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم وبالقرآن المستحكم وبفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها يا الله 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 والله. Because of Imam Hussein and the great sacrifice of Imam Hussein, please include us among true mourners of Hussein. O Allah, please enable us to be with Muhammad and all Muhammad in dunya and akhira. O Allah, please enable us to love you and love each other for your sake. O Allah, please forgive all our sins and mistakes. O Allah, please enable us to serve our Imam Zaman before and after he comes. O Allah, please accept his prayer for his true followers. O Allah, please give your healing and shifa to all who are ill. O Allah, please forgive all the marhumin, especially the marhumin of the brothers and sisters here. O Allah, please protect our community from everything which is bad and disliked. Oh Allah, please make our community a community which is pleasing to you and Ahlul Bayt. Oh Allah, please protect our youths from anything which you don't like. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.